This is the No Dama Podcast. I'm Brian Hogan, and this evening I'm joined by Isaac Levin, Application Development Manager at Microsoft. Thank you very much for taking time out of your evening, Isaac.
Thank you for having me.
To start off, can you tell me a little bit about yourself, please?
Yeah, so again, my name is Isaac Levin. I'm an Application Development Manager in the Developer Support Organization for Microsoft. So my role at Microsoft is, think of myself as a customer-aligned developer advocate. So it's my responsibility for my customers to have the best developer experience they possibly can. So we do things like proof of concept, training, chalk talks, brown bag sessions, and we talk about particular technologies that we see customers can get great value out of, one of them being App Insights.
Do you do a lot of development?
I used to. I was a developer for over 10 years, but now most of my development is done in my spare time. I contribute to ASP.NET Core and documentation around ASP.NET Core a lot, so that's where I do most of my coding these days. I don't do code for a day job anymore.
What would your day-to-day be like for you?
So my job is very much in the quote-unquote customer relationship sort of world. So it's, you know, making sure my customers are successful and making sure they're happy. I'm a technical person, so one of the things that I like to do is talk to developers about where their pain points are with their day-to-day. You know, if there's things that we can do, I can leverage the entire power of Microsoft to help a customer. So, you know, what can I do to make that individual developer or that group of developers, you know, more productive, whether it be tooling, whether it be training in particular areas, and even sometimes break fix stuff. So I can, you know, integrate them with some of our support staff to kind of make sure their ships are righted, so to speak.
Tonight, we're going to talk primarily about App Insights. And it's been around for a long time, but can you give maybe a little bit of the history of it and what it is?
Sure. So App Insights is part of the larger suite that's called Azure Monitor. Azure Monitor used to be called OMS, which it went through a rebranding about, you know, 5 or 6 months ago. So that would be the beginning of year time frame, beginning of 2019. They went through the process of rebranding it, and then they kind of absorbed a lot of the analytics and telemetry collection tools into that suite. So App Insights being one of them. And what App Insights is it's an application performance monitor. So, or APM for short. And what it does is it collects information about your application while your application is going through its day-to-day, right? So things like page views or requests, session information, user demographics, and things like exceptions as well.
Is it something that you make use of in your own role, or is it something you advocate for other people to make use of?
Well, I definitely advocate for it. So I talk about App Insights whenever I get the opportunity to. You know, App Insights is one of my favorite things in Azure. I use it when I give talks around the country. I talk to my customers about it. I blog about it when I find something new and exciting to talk about. And I just feel like it's something that every developer should be aware of. They may not have to use it, but being aware of it and seeing how it can help, you know, better triage or get data around an application, which is, you know, sometimes very difficult.
So you mentioned Azure, part of the OMS. Would I use App Insights if I was building an application which was only going to be running on site, let's say in a rack space or something?
Sure. So one of the great things about App Insights is that it's, you know, any language, any platform. So if you have a Java application hosted on-prem, you can still take advantage of App Insights. The only kicker to the entire process is that the data itself is stored in Azure. So think of App Insights as a glorified REST API, right? So you make calls to it with an SDK, and then it takes in that data, which is JSON data, and then it uses machine learning and artificial intelligence to aggregate that data in a particular way and then put it into a data store, which is a NoSQL database. So that entire process is in Azure. So in order to get to the data initially, you need to go to Azure to get it. So you will need an Azure subscription to take advantage of App Insights. There are things like you can turn on App Insights for local-only development, so you can see some of the telemetry that's being collected. But if you want a production application logging telemetry and being able to see that telemetry and see that data, you're going to need an Azure subscription. But the pricing for App Insights is pretty reasonable. So you get 5 gigabytes of input and output. So putting data into App Insights and getting data out of App Insights. So 5 gigabytes of data for free, and $2.30 per additional gigabyte. So, you know, it's pretty cost effective when you look at, you know, other application performance monitors and, you know, what those prices entail, especially in the enterprise space.
I guess those are monthly prices?
Yes.
What part of App Insights do you like the most, say?
So I think, you know, the thing that I love the most about App Insights is its extendability. So it's the fact that it's NoSQL means that there's no hard schema for it. So you can pass in what's called custom objects or custom events. So in the situation where you have an application that you want to log and collect domain type data, not just exceptions or page views or SQL calls, you can, like, say, for instance, if you have, you know, a e-commerce site and you want to be able to log things around your shopping cart, you can take advantage of that. And App Insights doesn't care as long as you pass it in the proper format. So, you know, it gives you the opportunity to extend it. And there's a bunch of different ways that you can extend App Insights as well. You can append data to certain objects. You can, you know, do filtering. And obviously, you could do sampling as well to kind of control how much data flows into your App Insights resource.
If I was building, let's say, a simple application with Visual Studio 2017 or 2019, let's say Web API, and I want to use App Insights, what are the steps, aside from, let's say, having that account up in Azure?
Sure. So if App Insights, there's a handful of ways to instrument it. Instrument it just being the phrase that's used to basically turn on App Insights for your application. So if you have the code inside of Visual Studio, it's very, very easy. You right-click on your web project, and there's a little node that says Add, and then you can click Add, and it says Add App Insights. And then it goes through a wizard that, you know, helps you set up the App Insights resource. It lets you specify what type of telemetry you want to collect. And then once you click OK, what it'll do is it will install all the SDK onto your machine. There's about 6 DLLs that get put onto your project. And then there's information like the instrumentation key gets added to your app settings. So instrumentation key being the unique identifier used to differentiate your App Insights resource from everybody else's.
With a basic out-of-the-box web API, let's say you're using Kestrel, your web host create default builder includes some logging. How does App Insights, how is it related to logging and how is it different?
So it's in a similar vein, right? So there's different extensions. You can add console or you can add Tracewriter, and adding App Insights is an extension that you can leverage as well to get a more granular view. So, but by default, App Insights collects all telemetry for your application out of the box. So page views or requests or exceptions, even unhandled exceptions are collected for you. So it's a matter of if you want to control your configuration of App Insights more, you can use one of the extensions instead of Configure Logger.
I see. So in the same way, I could say I want only warnings and above with logging. I can also say I only want 404s or something.
Yep.
I see. And then you mentioned that it's available for other languages because it is only an API. So with .NET, you get a bunch of, is it NuGet packages that come down?
Yep.
And then is it the same? How many other languages is it available for, or what are the big ones?
Yeah, so I like to say any language that can make a REST API can take advantage of App Insights. But for the primary languages that are used out in the world, so Java, PHP, Ruby, Python, Node.js, there's a static JavaScript version. There's existing SDKs that are either owned and maintained by Microsoft or owned and maintained by the developer community. And all that stuff is available on GitHub. So Microsoft actually aggregates all of the repos and puts links out to them inside of the App Insights GitHub repository.
Do you have any, or do you get any statistics on the usage? Is it mostly C#? What percentage would be non-C#, Java, Python, and the like?
I don't work for the product group, so I don't get insights into the usage, but I would assume that a majority of the users of App Insights are probably .NET developers, you know, more than likely, just because you're already in that frame of reference, right? Like, you're writing .NET, you're in Visual Studio, the tooling is very robust. You're more than likely, if you're building a .NET app, if you're using a cloud provider, it's Azure, and so forth, right? So all of the points line up for, you know, .NET, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's, you know, a good amount of Node.js as well as Java, just because those are very well used languages. One that I see that's very interesting, and I mentioned it, is static sites. So if you have like a static site built in, any of those blog generators, you can add a JavaScript snippet similar to Google Analytics into your application, and that will give you all the JavaScript telemetry collection for your static site, which is pretty valuable. I have that on my public blog, and it's very nice to see like all of the usage metrics that go through, and seeing it all inside the Azure portal is pretty valuable.
What about for applications that won't necessarily have very good connectivity, mobile, IoT, some types of embedded devices?
So I can't speak to, you know, on the edge, because I haven't really looked into that very much. But for mobile apps, so Visual Studio App Center, which is the Microsoft recommended tool for, you know, mobilization of mobile applications, has, you know, a direct integration with App Insights. So it instruments your apps for you, and it logs to App Insights for you as well. I would be curious to see about, you know, IoT and edge devices, what the story is there. But so App Insights, a little bit of information about how it actually collects that data. So your SDK is processing requests. It's listening on particular traffic coming through your application. And what it'll do is it'll batch related requests together and then make a web request in an asynchronous way. So, you know, one thing to say is that it doesn't, you know, log every single telemetry item one by one by one. It uses some algorithm to, you know, batch them all up and send them all up in a larger chunk. So I'd imagine in that case, for like edge devices, there might be retry logic built into it.
And you could always use something like Poly if you needed to perform those retries.
Yep. Yeah, get the resiliency right.
What types of application do you think it is most suitable for? So I know it's, you know, available obviously for web, for a variety of things, but where do you see it being used the most?
I definitely think web is the biggest one. So as of recently, Oren Novotny, who's a Microsoft MVP, actually wrote it for he ported basically a desktop version of it. So you can actually utilize App Insights for your client applications, which is pretty interesting. So when you switch different views, you know, inside your WPF app or your Windows console or Windows Form app, it collects telemetry in a way that makes sense, you know, based on the context. So that's pretty cool. But I do think the story with web is very strong, right? Because a lot of the things that we do in the web, there's all this telemetry or all this data around our application in a web presence that makes sense, right? Like being able to know at a very high level, okay, where's most of my traffic from my web application coming from? Is it coming all from the US? Is it coming maybe from Australia? Or what is my performance for, you know, users outside of typical viewing areas? You know, one example that I like to use is Scott Hanselman. He upgraded one of his blogs, I think, a year ago, and he basically did the click on App Insights, and he realized very quickly that his app was getting performance degradation in, you know, Southeast Asia, right? So he found out, one, that he had viewers in Southeast Asia, and two, their experience wasn't that great, right? And that's something that you would never probably figure out unless somebody called you, right? Which, in Scott Hanselman's case, I don't know if many people would just, you know, send him a message on Twitter saying, hey, I live in Cambodia, and your site's really slow for me. So that's an example that I see as, you know, that's a tried and true case of what App Insights and other APMs can do to help developers get a better understanding of what their apps are doing and make sure their apps are, you know, the best quality for all of their end users.
You mentioned it can be added to websites with a little piece of JavaScript in the same way Google Analytics can be added.
Yes.
So then does that appear on the likes of the ad blocker lists like uBlock Origin and the rest? Because I know they block Google
Analytics. It sure does. Yeah, it sure does, unfortunately. You know, that's unfortunately, I guess, is dependent on, you know, what your preference is, right? But yes, definitely. Like if you have an ad blocker, like uBlock Origin or AdAware or any of those sort of tools for your browser, you will most definitely see messages in your console saying that, oh, this call to this particular URL was denied. And that call is most likely a call called track to a very, very long URL, and that is an App Insights endpoint.
But then if you have, if you do it on the back end, of course, that's not stoppable. If it was, an MVC
Correct.
Or web API or something of that
yeah.
nature.
Yeah. The server, you obviously can't block that sort of stuff. But definitely on the web, you have the ability to kind of control what, you know, your client is able to do.
How does all of this relate to diagnostic source?
Sure. So diagnostic source and like a lot of other logging providers like Nlog or Log4Net, they already have a very rich story about collecting telemetry for applications. But one of the downsides to them is that they're dumping all the data into a repository, and then you're responsible as a developer or whoever to get that data into a format that makes sense for you, right? Say you need to build a report or what have you. App Insights, for most of the major telemetry providers, they have appenders or adapters for them. So if you already are using like Nlog or Diagnostic Source or what have you, you can install a NuGet package onto your application, and very, very easily, all of your calls that you have to your other login provider will be logged up to App Insights as well. So you don't have to rewrite a bunch of code to get that working, which is really valuable. And then once it's in App Insights, you can do some great things like querying the data and building reports off of it with an integrated language called KQL, which kind of looks like SQL.
I made a podcast with Mark Rendell back in November last year about Diagnostic Source for anyone that's interested. It was episode 108, and we go into quite a bit of detail about it. But when he and I were talking about it, he was looking at storing stuff in the likes of Prometheus and Grafana or InfluxDB. Does App Insights provide the same kind of, I suppose, storage or retrieval opportunities as those?
So you can get data out of App Insights a few different ways, right? So the easiest way is to use what's called continuous export. So since the data is flattened JSON, you can turn on continuous export for your App Insights resource, and it'll actually dump those JSON files to an Azure Blob Store. And then once they're in Azure Blob Storage, you can do whatever you want with them. You can also get the data out using a REST API. So you do have the ability to get data out, and then, you know, once it's out in JSON format, you can kind of do whatever you want. You can send it up to, you know, all the different, niche, reporting tools that exist out there, right? I'm drawing a blank on, you know, Grafana is one of them, obviously. There's another really, really big one that I can't think of the name of right now, but everybody uses it, but I can't remember what it is.
No problem. What do people generally try to learn from the data stored in App Insights? Or what would you see as very common use cases?
I think the most common use case that I can think of, I used, you know, the being able to find out your performance degradation based on particular user demographics. That's pretty valuable. One thing that I called into it earlier was the thought about unhandled exceptions, right? So if your application is throwing an exception, typically, what's that process look like for you to first find out there's a problem, then triage the problem, and then find out what the actual issue is, right? That process can take very, very long in some scenarios. But App Insights, out of the box, it'll actually collect that exception, even if it's unhandled. It'll log your call stack, the actual exception itself with a message, and then the line number that threw the exception. So then you could easily go to your source code of your that was deployed out and say, oh, line 35 is throwing an exception. What could be happening on line 35? And then you can even take another step. If you have Visual Studio Enterprise, you can generate what's called a snapshot. And what snapshot is it allows you to actually get a point-in-time debugging experience in Visual Studio of that exception. So you have, you know, a local window that's populated with variables. You can run immediate and watch window things too. And you have tooltip. So again, just think about how much work we've done in the past as developers to get that piece of information. What was the value of this parameter when this exception occurred, right? I remember one of my first jobs out of college was, you know, basically taking a very, very large extensive API and then adding error handling to it. And the error handling was most definitely, hey, this is the method name through the exception. These are all the parameter values that were passed in, and then logging that into a database with like Log4Net, right? So that process took a long time, right? Even if you're a seasoned developer, it would take a long time. And App Insights does it for you by default out of the box. So just a way for you to get the answer that you're looking for as quickly as possible.
Can you explain a little bit more how you integrate App Insights with Visual Studio Enterprise for that debugging?
Yeah, sure. So the feature or the product is called Snapshot Debugger. It's a Visual Studio Enterprise only feature, so that's important to call out. But what happens is you install a telemetry collecting package onto your application. Your application needs to be .NET 2.0 or .NET Standard 2.0 supported. So that's like Visual or .NET Framework 4.6.1, I believe, and .NET Core 2. I think that's correct. And so you add that package, and then by default, whenever your application throws an exception, it creates what's called a snapshot out in the Azure portal. So when you're actually looking through the exception blade in App Insights, a little icon will show up under the exception that says download snapshot. So you click on download snapshot, it'll actually give you the opportunity to view a lot of the data in the browser, or you can download a die accession file. And if you've used if anybody who's used like WinDBG or other tools in the past, a die accession file is basically like a mini dump. So you can download a mini dump of your exception that was thrown locally, open it up inside of Visual Studio, and get the debugging experience of the point in time of when that exception occurred.
That sounds very impressive.
Yes. Yeah. And there's, you know, and the first thing that people ask me is like, what's the performance hit? It's got to be insane. The product group advertises that it's less than 2%. So there is
it's only on exceptions anyway.
Yep. Yeah. So there is a performance hit. Like, it's not magic, but it's just think about the cost savings in having a developer spend 10 hours finding that particular issue, right? And then if you take it one step further with Snapshot Debugger, if your application is deployed to App Service, which is the platform as a service offering for websites in Azure, you can actually attach your Visual Studio instance to that App Service in Azure, and it doesn't affect the application in Azure at all. Users can use it as they would nothing's doing, but you're attached to it, you're generating snapshots, and inside of Visual Studio, you can actually see the data coming through. So in the past, developers have always like attached a debugger in like the worst case scenario. And what's the problem with attaching to debugger or attaching to a process, right? It takes down the entire process while you're debugging. Snapshot Debugger in this particular case doesn't take down the remote server. It spins up a clone of the W3WP process and attaches to that. And all the traffic is flowing both ways, so you get a debugging experience inside of Visual Studio that actually sees at a point in time, oh, looks like somebody threw an exception right now. Let me see the information about that exception. They click on it, and they're off and running.
There is a significantly different price for Visual Studio Enterprise than Professional.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If someone wanted to do this, is there an Azure VM they could spin up for a couple of hours with Visual Studio Enterprise on it and pay for it that way?
I'm not aware of any offering like that. That would be interesting. I do know that that's probably the main pushback that people give me when I talk about Snapshot Debugger is, hey, you know, we're a small shop. We have 6 developers. We're not going to get Visual Studio Enterprise for everybody. And my response to it is, how much time do you spend triaging an issue to do this exact thing, right? And someone says, oh, you know, 3 or 4 hours. Okay, well, 3 or 4 hours, you know, you get paid $70 an hour typically, right, in your job. So that's 200 and some dollars a day, or every time an exception gets thrown. That compounds over time. It might not match what the cost of enterprise is, but it allows your development team to be more agile, and you know, it gives them opportunities to work on features instead of always putting out fires, which is very important for businesses.
Yeah, in some companies, what I see is the QA or the testers will use Visual Studio Enterprise because it has a few extra tools compared to the developers. And yep. I guess you can always go sit with one of them if you need to.
Or you can use Visual Studio Live Share, right?
Yeah. That's another very impressive one. You mentioned earlier as well that you can query data back from App Insights in real time. What would be a use case for something like that?
Yeah, so if I said it was real time, I misspoke just a bit, because the data going into App Insights, there is a slight delay on it. Because it does go through that machine learning process. If you need to see the data in real time, there is an actual screen in the Azure portal that lets you see it coming across the wire in real time, but you can't query on that data. It takes about 90 seconds to 2 minutes to get the data from the time it's sent to the web service to being queryable in Log Analytics. So once the data is in Log Analytics, you can write queries to do basically anything. Like one that an easy query that I write to show the power of it is, let me just get a return of all of the distinct count of all the countries that people use for my app when they come and use my application, right? So then I have a table of like United States, 2,000 hits, you know, UK, 400 hits, so forth, right? And that's like two lines of code. And then I say, oh, but then your boss comes up to you and says, oh, but they want it in a pie chart. I literally change a drop down to pie chart and it creates a pie chart for me, right? One of the first things that I had to do in my job is I had to actually go and walk requests over to an SSRS developer and say, hey, this is the data source. This is what we're looking to do. The SSRS guy would say, well, do you have a query for me? And you give them a query, and you know, and then maybe in a couple of days, or more than likely a couple of weeks, you have an SSRS report. And taking that entire process out of the equation is amazing. And then you have a pie chart, and then you can just easily export it to Power BI. Or you can take that data set, that's that raw data, and you can actually export it to a CSV, and then you can send that over to somebody, and they can open it in Excel, right? So it's extremely valuable to get visualizations and rich graphs to your end users that don't want to see data. That's definitely one of the things that I can see that's being really valuable. You can also see things, since it does collect performance, right? You can see what's my memory trend over time for a particular endpoint, right? So I have an endpoint that uses a lot of system resources. You know, when is it at its peak? When is it at its valley? And then maybe you can do things like setting up auto-scaling in particular scenarios, right? So I mentioned that App Insights is on the lesser expensive side. Like, and I think the reason why is because Microsoft has decided that for users to get the most value out of Azure, they have to have some things for free, right? So, or very, very cost effective. So you use App Insights, and then, oh, maybe I want to set up alerts, or maybe I want to set up auto scaling, and you do all these other things that do cost money, and it all ends up evening out. So you don't pay for App Insights directly, but you may end up paying for it indirectly in some ways, right?
Yeah, but it also sounds like if you're putting warnings and errors, exceptions, and the like into App Insights, 5 GB is going to get you a very, very long way for free.
Yeah, no, most definitely. I think that's a really important thing to call out, right, is that even though it's five gigabytes per month per resource, so you can have as many App Insights resources as you want. Like, one of the things that I tell my customers is you definitely want to have an App Insights resource, a different one per environment, right? Like, you want to have all your production data by itself, and you want to have, QA or test all by itself, right? And you want to have, if you don't have to put all of your applications in one resource. There's this thing called distributed tracing, which allows you to interlink, all of the different dependencies for a particular App Insights resource in a thing called application map, which gives you kind of a holistic view of all of the different things that are logging data in a particular way. So it's just, again, it goes back to, you can get, like you said, you can get a long way with App Insights without having to spend any money.
You mentioned a few of the alternatives to App Insights as we talked, but what would you say are the best alternatives?
Sure. Well, I work at Microsoft, so none of the alternatives
Sure.
are good.
What are the second, third, and fourth?
Sure. No. So I actually got started in the telemetry space with AppDynamics. So that was the first one that I had used. So AppDynamics is a very well-known APM in that space. New Relic as well, Raygun, Dynatrace. There's a few others I think I'm probably missing, but those are kind of the key ones. And each of them do things a bit differently, and they have their own little way of doing it. And one thing that's really important to call out is that just because you use one doesn't mean you don't have to use other ones as well. You know, one thing that I've seen with some customers is they'll have like an enterprise license of, say, New Relic, and but they'll also have App Insights instrumented as well, because they're in Azure and they want to have that plug-in into Azure Monitor. So that you can pick and choose which ones you want. I do think that, in my opinion, the licensing for some of them is kind of high, especially when you consider what App Insights does. But some of them also provide far more granular, you know, customization of views and data, which you don't get with App Insights, right? So App Insights, it's inside the Azure portal. You can't really customize what the Azure portal looks like. You can create dashboards and things like that, but some of the other tools, you have the ability to create views that are exactly what you're looking for every time. So, you know, I think, you know, App Insights is a great alternative, and for even the folks that are using some of those tools. But it's, in my opinion, this is how I see it. If you're in Azure, definitely should be at least looking at App Insights, right? I think that's a no-brainer there. If you're using .NET, I think that the tooling and the integration for .NET, especially .NET Core, is so good that you at least want to give it a shot. And then as you kind of get further from that center, that origin, you know, kind of the question's kind of raised, like, okay, does it really make sense to use this with a Java application hosted in AWS, right? We have no Microsoft touch at all. You know, why we use a Microsoft product, right? Like, that's a reasonable question. But I think if you're using any Microsoft ecosystem related thing, it definitely would, you know, kick the tires on it for sure.
What do you see as the future of App Insights and the broader telemetry space?
You know, I think devices that collect telemetry are all around us, right? Like, I have customers that they work in the space that is all they have devices that are always collecting data, right? That data is very, very valuable, and being able to get more intelligent data science on top of that data is really valuable. And one thing that I would look to see with App Insights is a couple of things, is having kind of parity of data. So the data, you know, coming from all these different sources could look similar. So maybe you could have, you know, a centralized data source for maybe all of your different APMs. I know OpenCensus is kind of working in that space, where they're trying to build out a schema for, you know, a particular format for all the data going forward. I do see a lot of opportunity in the snapshot debugger world to add additional languages. Like, I think Java is a very good it's a very good candidate for something like snapshot debugger, right? Because a lot of people use Java and it's a compiled language and so forth. One item that was rolled out recently tied to snapshot debugger was this concept of time travel debugging. So with snapshot debugger, you get a point in time, so you don't get a debugging experience per se. You can't step forward and backward. But what time travel debugging allows you to do is actually step forward and backward without affecting your remote application, right? So that's a huge deal. So, you know, you can set breakpoints in different files. You can do step over, step in, and, you know, it doesn't affect the target server at all. And once that's robust and available for a bunch of different platforms, I think right now it's only available in Azure VMs because of the performance hit on it. Because, you know, think about it, you're creating a separate clone of your application, and you're basically allowing you know, a Visual Studio instance to walk backwards and forwards across the call stack, which, you know, that's a pretty challenging thing. So those are the things that I think of future-wise. I think also just making it more available. And one of the things that I have issues with App Insights is that I feel like I'm the only person that talks about it at times. Like, and that's not a knock on anybody who works with App Insights, but I feel like App Insights could, I want to know why people don't use it, right? And especially if you're in Azure. And I think one of the things that I'd like to see more is, you know, just more integration with other tools. You know, more, you know, the integrations with Microsoft products is great, but integration with other tools would be interesting as well. So that, I think that's the kind of the future, right? Is more integration, you know, a better exception triaging experience, you know, consolidated data schemas across all the different processes. There's probably some more that I can think of, but I think that the biggest ones are, you know, just making it available and accessible to everybody. That's, in my opinion, the biggest key.
If people want to get in touch with you, what's the easiest way?
I'm on Twitter and GitHub pretty frequently. So my handle is Isaac2004. The handle is it's set in stone, and I wish I could change it, but I can't. I blog occasionally. I have a blog called isaaclevin.com, where, you know, I blog about all sorts of different things, usually in the Microsoft space. Yeah, but probably the easiest way to get a hold of me is on Twitter.
Any final notes before we wrap up for the evening, Isaac?
Yeah, I think, yeah, obviously, thank you for letting me be on the show. I think the biggest thing that I want to say about App Insights is, you know, kick the tires on it if you're in Azure, right? Like, I can't stress that anymore. If you're in Azure and you don't know about it, figure it out. Listen to all the different podcasts that I've probably talked about it on ad nauseum. And, you know, if you're not on Azure, it's a great experience for you to play around with a new cloud provider, because I think that, you know, having one cloud is good if it's Microsoft cloud, but it's definitely not good if you have multiple clouds, right? So, but all jokes aside, I think App Insights is a great tool. It might not be the best tool in every case, but I think that there's tons of value in at least taking a look at it.
Isaac Levin, thank you very much for your time this evening.
Thank you, Brian.
If you like this episode, you might also like episode 108 with Mark Rendell on gathering metrics in .NET Core, or episode 95 with Ben Watson on high-performance .NET programming. The opening music was Return by Nisi23 from the album 11 and 12, and the closing music was Gradual Sunrise by David Hilowitz.